so rockin'.
October 27th order. May I have roll call, please?
Chair Schneider.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Member Branch.
Here.
Member Carroll.
Here.
Member Hyman.
Here.
Member Shaler.
Present.
Member Swaney.
Here.
Alternate Whalen. Thank you.
Thank you. And meeting minutes for October 13th. Do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second. Discussion. Another awesome job. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. Planning Director report.
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Schneider and members. We have one item to report. We have released a supplemental EIR and a revised project EIR for the Shelby project, the residential project on 7400 Cathedral Oaks. It's 60 units, single-family residential. So that's been released. The documents have been released for public review with the ending period of December 2nd, 2015. So if you'd like to check it out, it's on the website.
Was it like the mid-century modern thing?
Yes. Okay. And it's been in the works for a while, coming back as a revised EIR. So yeah, again, it's on the website. If you'd like to take a look or have any questions, direct that to staff.
Okay.
Chair, I have one question for staff.
Uh-huh.
I was just going to ask, I noticed that the city is looking at updating their landscaping ordinance to be in compliance with the state standards, and I was wondering if there would be any consultation or any review with the Planning Commission or the Design Review Board on this process.
The landscape, are you talking about the water? That is in the works. It hasn't made it to, I believe it's going to council, is the for policy decision making.
So there really won't be a role for the Design Review Board or the Planning Commission to
I'm not sure yet. We haven't. It's in the works, so I don't know if we're going to be reporting or if there's actually going to be a review process with any board or commission. But I'll look into that and report at the next meeting.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Review of agenda or projected agenda?
Okay, you have some changes on your agenda today. We have item G 3 and 4, which was on your agenda that it was requested by the applicant to be continued, but we also have two other items requested by the applicant to be continued. So you're looking at items G 1, G 3, G 4, and G 5.
We're all being...
Yes. So that's the Nissan facade improvements, the Lot 5 of the Harvest Hill Ranch, Lot 6 of the Harvest Hill Ranch, and the Coke commercial facade improvements.
I'll move to continue. To what dates are these?
November 10th.
November 10th.
Your next meeting.
All right. I'll move to continue item C1, 425 Kellogg.
G.
G1.
Sorry, G1. I crossed it out. G3, 1040 Cambridge, Lot 5, 1020 Cambridge, Lot 6, and 5841 Hollister to the November 10th meeting.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And Mr. Chair, your next meeting is November 10th, and you have one meeting in November, so it might be, based on these continuances, it might be a large agenda.
Okay. And now we have a moment for public comment. If there's anybody in the audience who would like to speak on an item that is not on today's agenda. Seeing none, move on to item E1, sign calendar, 7127 Hollister Avenue.
Yes, Mr. Chair. We reviewed the revised sign for 7127 Hollister Avenue, and the applicant reduced the logo per our discussion last time, and the font size stayed the same. So we move for final project design approval.
Okay. Take that as a motion. Do I have a second?
Here. Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
One abstain.
Okay. Next item is item F1 on our conceptual review calendar. Madam Secretary?
Item F1 is AC4 Fitness Rooftop Verizon Cell Site, located at 52 North Fairview Avenue, case number 15-105-DRB.
Okay.
I have to recuse myself because the property owner is a client of mine.
As do I for the same reason.
As do I for the same reason. But fortunately, we do still have four. You're in charge.
My name is Jay Higgins. I'm representing Verizon. This is Vivonne. She's also representing the applicant, Verizon. And do we go through the plans or maybe?
Today we have requests for conceptual review. The property includes a 5,700 square foot, two-story commercial building and associated landscaping and amenities on a 22 or 23,000 square foot lot in the retail commercial zone. The applicant is proposing to construct a new unmanned wireless facility, which will be placed on the rooftop in a new faux chimney. The associated equipment will be ground mounted in the southern corner of the building, painted and screened with a new fence. The materials used for this project are proposed to match the existing commercial property. And at this point, if you want to walk through the project, and I'm here if you guys have any questions.
I think we have to make declarations, don't we, gentlemen?
Okay.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I've had a site visit and no ex parte. And Madam Clerk, there seems to be some kind of reverb going on with this. What's that? I don't know if there's a way we can fix that or not.
I am familiar with the site and no ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay, thanks. So Verizon is proposing, and okay, so we've got exhibits on the screen. So Verizon needs to cover the area. The purpose of the facility here is not to provide coverage because everybody has wireless coverage on their phones, but it's really to augment data capacity. With the amount of traffic coming on the network and the demand for high-speed 4G services in the area, people's phones will start to not work as they do now within about 6 months. So if you've heard some of this stuff before, you can stop me, but generally when we locate sites, we need to be taller than anything else around. It's a line of sight technology. This particular building happens to be right in the middle of the sort of soft spot of where we need to provide the service. We did look at some other properties around, primarily the shopping center to the west. There's a couple of challenges there with that particular property. Namely, the physical structures on the property don't lend itself to sort of a smaller sized cell site, which is what we're proposing here. You may be familiar with other sort of the macro cell site designs that take a number of antennas to serve the area. And with a roof line like that, pretend it's sort of bad visual aid here, but if this is the rooftop, that particular building is so large, the building is so vast, we'd have to have a series of antennas at each corner to shoot that particular direction. So the subject property lends itself to just clustering the antennas at the apex of the roof, and that provides a 360-degree coverage without having to dot different parts of the building as if we would have to if we were located on a larger rooftop. We are trying to emulate the architecture of the building to some degree with a false chimney. Had sort of different ideas that we played with our architecture. but, you know, keeping it simple is what we ended up going with, without any sort of tile roof, sort of just a flat chimney structure to resemble the existing chimney structure that's on the building. We are going over the top of the building, obviously, hence the engineering that we discussed earlier about being able to cluster the antennas and broadcast 360 degrees. The zoning code does allow us to go over the height of the building, actually allows us to go up to 50 feet. We don't quite need that much, and I think that would be out of proportion with the architecture. So this is sort of our most minimalist antenna configuration. The other components of the site that you're familiar with, the radios, the equipment cabinets, the batteries and whatnot, those will all be within the building, in the interior of the building underneath a staircase. And we have some what are called remote radio heads, which are some of the radio components that will be at the base of the building in a landscape planter, and those will be screened. You won't be able to see those. So we can get into more of it if you'd like. I have some photo simulations and photos of the what the street view of the building, but I'm sure you're probably familiar with the surrounding areas.
Okay. Well, the photo simulations would be, I mean, you brought them, so you might as well, please. You know, by all means, pass them out. I have a, I guess I'll start off questions. Pardon me?
And if you could also put the photo simulations up.
And you need to bring the folk, bring the scope out of this so they can show it. Great, thank you. This is for here?
Okay. May need to zoom in quite a bit there. All right. But the inset is the existing, and the new chimney is there with the arrow pointed to it on the right side of the building. That's really the best view coming from the south. Like when you get off the highway, there's another view as well.
Yeah.
There's other views where if you're further back, right after you get off the highway, looking north up Fairview, mm-hmm. That particular view will be screened by the palm trees. Some of the views will be screened by the palm trees.
I had a question. What are the materials that are being used for the chimney?
The materials are all, it's a fiberglass mm-hmm. material that can be textured with stucco material so it matches the exterior.
Right. So the stucco texture
correct
will match the exterior.
Exactly.
Paint and the color will match the exterior.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for the applicant or any comments?
And fiberglass just to prevent any interference for the propagation?
Yeah, the fiberglass is there so the antennas can still broadcast through
the material. Regular stucco wouldn't work because the lath would be like a Faraday cage, and that'd be the end of that.
I have two questions. Thank you. So does the proposed bow chimney have a similar cap to the existing chimney, or is it more plaintive than the...
I think on the plans it shows a cap, but it's not a very high profile cap. We will endeavor to put a similar cap to match the existing.
Just for reference purposes, with the Spanish colonial structure, if there's several chimneys, they don't necessarily all happen to be there. It's a little bit of variation is kind of part of the whole genre.
So you can see there in that elevation, we've got a very low profile cap to match the existing. I wouldn't even call it a cap.
Right. Does it kind of have the openings or the carved out portion like the existing chimney?
No, that is not something that we're proposing. It'll be enclosed, so you won't be able to see the antennas.
Otherwise, you would see the antennas.
You would see them, and you would see some of the cabling and the equipment inside there. And we feel as though we'd like to hide that.
And is this designed to accommodate future co-location? From another carrier?
This particular building, yes. That whether or not we wouldn't be able to locate another carrier's antennas in that small chimney, but the building certainly lends itself to having other antennas on it, yes.
Okay.
But maybe I clarify that. If another carrier wanted to come back and add vertical height to the chimney, they could squeeze more antennas in there, yes, if that helps.
Well, I think I like the way it's done. I think it fits you know, it's unobtrusive and fits the style of the building. If nobody else minds, I would like to go ahead and make a motion for design review. Well, wait a minute, let me back up here. The agenda just calls for conceptual review, so we can't go further than that, correct?
That's correct. They do have to come back.
Okay. Well, I'd make a motion for, pardon me?
Conceptual. Okay.
Yes. Is there a second?
Sure. And I would, yeah, I'll make a second. And also, the question is, when do you guys want to come back? Our next meeting is the 10th. Do we have room to accommodate?
Tomorrow?
Well, November 10th is your
next available would be fantastic.
I mean, if it was possible to just give you design review and send you on your way, we'd do it.
We should have applied for that, but yeah. It's okay. We can come back if
it's available. As it is.
Sure.
So. Okay. So I made a motion for conceptual review being completed. Is there a second? Oh, you did second.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to call the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, if I could ask for an amended motion for your continuance for G3 and G4. I didn't realize the applicant wanted to actually continue that item to your December meeting. So that would be December, look it up really quick, December 8th.
G3 and G4 continue to December 8th?
To December 8th.
Yeah, if you can amend your motion or do a new motion.
Who remembers who made the motion?
I did.
Scott.
Are you good with that?
Yeah.
And the seconder?
So moved, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
Thank
you. All those
you.
In favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, zipping right along, we are going to item G2.
F2.
No, F1, F2, sorry.
Okay.
That's zipping fast.
Touché.
Okay, item F2 is the ward renovations and lot split located at 749 through 759 Ward Avenue, case number 15-126 DRB.
Joe, you want to? Oh, hold on. Can I have first?
Site visit, no ex parte?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte?
I have visited the site, no ex parte.
I'm familiar with the site, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
And the same.
Okay. Back at you, Joe.
Right. Good afternoon. Today we have a request for conceptual review for proposed renovations to an existing industrial complex and a lot split. The property currently includes 29,000 square feet of development. This consists of two industrial buildings located at 749 and 759 Ward. The project is located on 3.4 acres and is located within the coastal zone of the city. The applicant is proposing a series of changes to the site, including increasing parking, increasing the landscaping, making changes to the parking spaces, as well as improvements to stormwater and drainage. There will be a exterior facade changes to both of the buildings, including a new covered walkway along the east building facades. There'll be interior remodel to 749 to reduce to remove an existing mezzanine and bring the ground floor to one level on the southeast corner of the building. We also remodel 759 to remove approximately 2,900 square feet of second floor and create one single industrial space. The application is for an as-built development plan, and as basically constructed, the site currently encroaches into a few of the setbacks, especially along the front. The application currently will be increasing its encroachment into that setback area with additional parking and then the front walkways. And then as well as the landscaping, currently the site is about 12% landscaped. The current zoning code requires 30%. The applicant is proposing to increase that to approximately 29% as part of this project. The applicant will also be creating two separate lots, dividing two buildings onto two different parcels. And that's all that I have. And then I'm here if you have any questions, and I hand it over to the applicant to go through it further.
Okay, any questions for staff? There we go.
I must have messed it up. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, board members. I'm Pete Allen, architect for the project. With me is Ed Mark. Ed's the property owner. As Joe said, we have two existing buildings built in the early 60s with some early 60s character, at least on one of them, which we're going to try to exemplify in our revised design. This cover sheet kind of gives you just a character shot of what we're thinking about doing and the landscaping. Presently, this is a shot of what's existing there right now. These are the two buildings. There's a parking lot, another parking lot in front of the building, some parking here, and this is all just a large, open, paved.
If you could slide that.
Oh, yeah, if you put it over here, then
it'll show up on the
screen. Then it'll be on the TV.
Should I sit right here?
No.
Give me a pointer.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Gymnastics at DRB.
All right. We all set?
Yeah.
All right. So we have the two buildings. Parking is existing in the front. This whole area back here is paved. The site slopes down a little bit right now, about 18 inches. We're going to raise it up here so we can get access to some new additional truck doors in the back of this building. So pretty straightforward as far as what's existing there. This is our proposal. No new square footage for the buildings. In fact, we're reducing the square footage on this building by removing some interior square footage, so it really doesn't have an effect on the exterior look of the building. This parking lot will be redone essentially to, you'll see we have the post shade areas are permeable paving just in the parking areas. The rest of it will be asphalt. There's a retention basin back in this corner. As far as site improvements go, one thing Joe did mention was our overhangs were extending into this front yard setback here and here. The column supports are what are in that setback. Existing setback is basically at the front of the building here. It also clips the existing building here. But what we're asking for is some consideration to add those architectural elements on the front of the building. So civil survey. Here's some model shots, just kind of give you an idea of the character of what we're doing. I have some elevations. At the end of the presentation. A lot of new landscaping along the front of the building. It's hard for me to see this upside down here, but part of what we have right now is a mechanical on this existing building is all exposed on top of the roof here because the ceiling height is so low. So we'll be adding the mechanical screens here, proposed mechanical screens here and here, you know, for any future tenant development. Right now, both, all the property is, except for one building here, is vacant. This building is vacant. This gives you an idea of the new landscaping, storm retention basin. And this landscaping that's shown on the model here reflects the landscaping on our landscape plan. Our landscape architect isn't here, so I'm not going to pretend to be able to describe what's what here, but it is reflected on those plans. So floor plans, roof plan, nothing too exciting for you guys. It does show, you know, the extent of our overhangs here. One here.
Is that new?
That's new, yeah. That's a new vertical element. I'll show that to you in the elevations, yeah. And then the same here. And those are added just to kind of break up the height of the building, especially on this building being two-story. So these are the drawings that kind of give you an idea of comparing the new to the existing. The existing buildings are masonry, exposed masonry, and they've got these old, what kind of fiberglass storefront systems? They're kind of funky. The idea is that we are just going to paint the existing masonry, replace the storefront with new aluminum storefront system, probably just in an anodized finish. Maybe do something with the glass, a little tint to the glass. And this, Carl, this is what you were just pointing to, this vertical element here, just to kind of help us. You got it. Right. Stone clad. Our new planters will be stone clad as well, trying to keep that Palm Springs modern 60s kind of feel to the whole project. And here you can see the two, hard to see upside down. There we go. So there's one overhang there, and there's the other overhang over here. They get split with these so these palm trees can exist. This being a one-story building, we're just popping off the top of the building. But at that same height, we go to 759, the adjacent building, to tie the two together. This is the back end of 749 that faces Ward Memorial, so we're adding some overhead doors. This is the corner that gets raised and kind of reconfiguring some man doors, as you can see. And then here's that lower portion. We didn't draw all the existing mechanical on there, but that's what the new mechanical equipment screen will do for us. This just kind of gives you some ideas of comparable shots of the building from the same vantage points. And then 759 has been changed what it originally was. This used to all be storefront right here on the original drawings. Now if something else was obviously done. So this is what we have right now. This is the new proposed, but the overhang here, kind of breaking things up. We'll do this what they had before. We'll fill in this area with storefront with opaque glass on the top. And adding planters in the front and our mechanical equipment screen for any future tenant work. So in a nutshell, that's it.
Okay. Questions from the board?
One question, Bill?
Bill.
So the permeable paving, does that mainly drain to its respective area and not all to the infiltration? So what's the infiltration basin serving? Is that the parking lot drainage, the
That's
asphalt?
Correct. Oh,
okay.
That's
gotcha.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, the driveways and all that.
Gotcha.
Okay. Bill, did you have something?
Yes, I do, Al, and thank you for indulging me. I actually have several questions, so thanks for bearing with me. I'm sure you know the answers to them. Regarding the landscaping, I'm thinking about the view from the 217s. People are coming down, they'll be able to see pretty much the rear of these buildings. And you described, I see this right here, these row of circular green things. And I don't know on the legend what those are and just what kind of height and breadth and depth that they would have, what it would look like potentially if you're driving on the elevated 217 mm-hmm. looking down mm-hmm. into your new reconfigured project. Mm-hmm.
They are low-lying plants. I don't know. I'm not a landscape architect. Maybe our buddies down here can do my presentation for me.
I think the trees you're referring to are Acacia stenophylla, the row of green trees along Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah, those get about 30 by 30. They're very fast growers. So they'd be significant size. And they would be significant within, you know, 5-8 years.
And I guess the question I have is this constant row?
For clarification, you said along Ward Drive. Is that okay, but are we talking down here? Are you talking, Aaron? Are you talking about down here? Or are you talking about along the hypotenuse there?
Did I get the street wrong?
No, they're both Ward.
We're looking.
I'm talking about at the bottom of the sheet.
Yeah, no. Bill was looking at along here.
Oh. That's more of a hedge type situation. It's looking like, you know, 6 to 8 foot hedge there.
That was the intent. Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to visualize that. I know you're making a lot of improvements to Ward Drive for the frontage, but actually probably more people will see your property as they're going on 317. As I was driving around there, I noticed a lot of, I guess, what's called wall pack lighting. Do you have a lighting plan or a relamping plan?
Not yet, but
we were planning on doing wall packs that would light the parking lot.
Are there any parking lot lights?
You mean like parking lot standard pole? No,
we wouldn't have any as part of the project. What we've shown on the elevation where we think we'll have light fixtures. I'm not sure they're going to be.
You're thinking of a large wall pack that's going to be super bright.
In the dark sky.
No, we'd have lighting. This would all be downlit. In the back of the buildings. In the front of the buildings, under those overhangs, we have some pendant fixtures, some decorative pendant fixtures. Okay. That's the extent of lighting.
Regarding the overhangs, on the south side, I noticed when I was out at the site visit, there was a lot of direct sun exposure to the sides of the building, and just wondering, making sure if the overhangs have been designed to minimize the solar heat gain for that side of the building. I know you're talking about having some overhangs, I just don't know mm-hmm. whether they're designed with that particularly in mind, because it is south facing.
That one obviously would do that, you know, provide that surface to the building. But I haven't studied actual sun angles to make sure. I think what we are doing on this side of the building, if I could, let's see here. Exactly. I'm looking for the other elevations. Who's got them? I do. On this side of the building, I didn't mention it, you know, at the present time, you're right. We are adding glass here. Structurally, I think they were planning for that in the future, but right now it's just a plaster wall. Ed is kind of going back and forth on this, and this one's more tenant dependent. More than likely, we'll probably, if we're going to have glass there, just keep it up high as a clear story for the space. Still have the overhang, because I think it's a good, strong architectural element for the building.
Do you know what the screening for the mechanical equipment is going to be made out of?
The idea was wood, wood slats or faux wood or something.
The space on top, it looks like there is some space that may not be needed for mechanicals. Would that ever be possible to put photovoltaics up on the roof? Are there any equipment areas that would lend themselves to that?
What?
Photovoltaics, solar panels?
Yeah. We haven't pursued that right now, but there are areas. And we're going to have to, you know, once we get into this, do our compliance and show those areas on the roof plan for future no matter what. So it's going to be part of the project.
And I guess if you want to upgrade your signage, that would be something that would come back and we would see it at some later point.
Yeah, so that would come back as part of like an overall sign plan that you guys would do for the site.
And certainly that's going to be tenant dependent, but we have shown kind of what we're thinking about as far as signage goes, a direction.
Okay, thank you very much. Pass it on.
Okay. Once the lot split happens, I'm assuming you've got enough parking for this building on its lot and enough parking for this building on its lot, so there's no shared parking to accommodate one building or the other building. All the parking is taken on the proposed.
Parking is, but the access, they'll have to have an access.
Right, they'll have to have an
there'll
access.
There'll be drainage, access, and parking reciprocal, but I believe, I'm pretty sure that each building stands on its own.
Could if
stands on its own. Could, but
yeah.
Then right. Know the, all the shared
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And along the, I guess,
south.
Southern thing here, this is not shared, per
no.
se, right?
No.
And there's actually a little curb or
correct.
Right, and there'll be civil plans show some low wall being added in here just to help with our grading.
Okay.
But nothing, you know, 30 inches or 24 inches high, nothing
right.
big.
And apparently we're short 2% on meeting the landscape requirement.
For the
1% rather. Yeah.
That's for the overall site. We have
right.
we have more here, less here. But overall, that's where we are.
Right. Okay. And then, so the issues we have to deal with are parking in the front setback. That
yes. And there's existing parking.
Well, yeah, I understand.
They would just be moving it to the other side, so along the frontage.
Right. But that's still technically not allowed, right?
No, it would require a modification.
Right, okay. Then we're going to require the modification for the new canopies, potentially?
Yes.
And there's one more issue.
And that, the other one would be the landscaping.
1% of
the oh.
We'll fix that one.
let me give you a hint as to where it might be helpful. This is, I guess I'm wondering on these elevations, just again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't drive the freeway, but I drove Ward Memorial, or Ward Drive. This feels, with what you're doing, I understand it will feel fairly nice. Okay. Seems though, if we can add, I don't know if there's some way to add some vines, some planting pockets to help soften this. I'm just, and I'll go back for the next scene. Just wondering about what Bill brought up. You know, far more people are going to see this from 217 and 11 driving this. So I just want to make sure that we've got that covered, or and maybe.
No, we haven't. You know, done anything back there. This
yeah,
is,
I know.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, so I'd look at that next time around.
Okay.
You know, we are an industrial building, so we want to keep the access to the back of these buildings with truck doors. We need to be able to get trucks to the backs. So if you start putting a lot of trees in these little spots here, it hinders the access.
Well, would you be okay with us putting some vine pockets on there and just getting some vines on them?
On the building itself?
Yeah.
Green screen, maybe,
yeah, green
or even
screen
some
to keep
kind of metal trellis that allows it to grow up. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But we're not getting access.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
So you're talking about something that will grow on the building?
Or just off the building.
Or just off the building on a trellis structure that's floated off the building by... Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Anyway, yeah. Just something to consider. Okay.
Chair, before you move on, I think I maybe have another question. Regarding the front yard setback on Ward Drive, how much, what is the distance of landscaping between the road and where the parking spaces will now front up to? How much of a little green belt is there between the roadway and the parking spaces?
That's 18 feet.
Yeah, 20 feet.
20, 25 feet maybe at the most.
And that's still in the zoning code, but that's considered out of compliance. It's still, I mean, how much is the setback actually?
What's the setback actually? Yeah.
Setback's clear to the building. It's center line of the Ward Drive.
Okay. 80 feet from center line and 50 feet from the right of way.
And that this right of way is only 40 feet wide, so that's what pushes everything back here. You look at, you know, I drove around the neighborhood. These buildings back here are pretty close as you come around the corner. So, for what it's worth,
it's great to see all this additional landscaping. Is there any issue with water allocation or increased water usage as a result of this project? This landscaping?
Well, speaking for my landscape architect and his palette here, you know, the intent obviously is to have this almost all drought tolerant.
It is all drought tolerant.
Planting. So, you know, I don't know how to compare it to what's there now, but it's hopefully the least impact.
Well, right now there's old-fashioned sprinklers.
Those are historic now.
Can't remove them.
They'll have to do a report.
And I guess one last question for staff. It's an increase of parking spaces from 53 to 128. Is that the amount that's calculated by the zoning ordinance for this zone district?
This zone district is a little different, so it's based on square footage of the building as well as number of employees. So we don't have the actual employee count, but they meet the requirement based on, or more than meet the requirement based on, the square footage of the building.
That's what I was going to say. It looked to me from looking at the current configuration of the site and the fact that it's going to be reorganized and all that, potentially you could have excessive amounts of parking compared to what the demand would be, but that's just an opinion.
Okay, comments? Okay.
I think it's great. I think your design sense is great with what you're doing to the building itself. The only real comment I had that jumped out at me was that they've already alluded to, but you know, I thought that this summed it up pretty well. This right along here. And I wonder if, you know, this is where, you know, rather than trying to put vine pockets or something back here, why not just put trees or something along this and just block it that way? Because this is, if trucks are going to need access back there, it seems like doing landscaping up near the building is counterproductive, and it seems like there's enough of a swath along the property line to maybe try to create some trees or even create more pockets within the parking somehow. And try to solve it that way, I guess,
we'll take a look at that. We're right next to Caltrans right away, and that gets very complex.
Yeah. Oh, they love when you talk to them about that stuff.
Yeah, they do.
But I like the vernacular that you're doing for the ward side, incorporating the stone and the storefronts and overhangs and stuff. I think it's a nice compositionally, and I can support this easily.
I'll chime in here. I actually traverse the 217 several times a week. This isn't the best looking set of the view, so seeing any improvement is going to be appreciated by myself personally. I would like to chime in, though, that I'd like to see the green screen with pockets idea. I appreciate a nice wide open view on that drive. I get to see the ocean, university coming forth. So the idea of 30 foot tall trees going in there isn't to my taste.
Uh,
I guess I'd, as far as the parking, I think there's an adequate amount of landscaping still in the front there, just to comment on that lot. I would say just make sure that we're going to see some plants there that are, you know, high enough to screen the fronts of those cars would be my comment there. I'll echo what Scott said about the possibility of adding some trees on the 217 side of the project. That planter looks at least 8 or 9 feet wide, so I think having some trees in addition to that hedge would be a benefit. The architecture looks very nice. I think you've done a good job. I'm overall in support of the project. The one other comment, the area of, I think that's north of 759, seems a bit unresolved as far as the landscaping. Maybe it's a little park for the employees to take a break. I don't know what that ends up being, but more detail there.
Where were you? North of 49 or 59?
That's fine.
This little triangle here.
That little triangle there. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a little, we're going to have a patio for employees back here.
Or maybe there's trees added there. I don't know. You know.
Okay.
But overall, I'm in support of the project. And I really like the simple plant palette and the drought tolerance of it. I think it's going to look nice.
I can overall support the project. A question occurred, though, which I forgot to ask. And I guess I need the first to ask staff. That's regarding the amount of parking. And right now, what's proposed is 128 spaces. And you were saying that it might be, because it's based on the square footage, that it might be over-provided?
Based on the square footage numbers, we're required to have 52 spaces.
Okay, I understand. But the 128 is based upon...
I might address that. The property is 3 acres.
Yes.
And we've got a small footprint of 25,000 feet, so there's typically quite a bit of extra land there. The zoning doesn't allow for outside storage, you know, storage yards, so there's really not much else to do with the land other than use it possibly for parking. We don't know who our tenants are at this point, so we're just trying to accommodate.
Okay, well, the question I would have for you, just seeing as... I understand that the standard in this case is 30% landscaping, and that we're at 29% landscaping. What would happen if you made it 127 spaces and then just bumped it up to 30% landscaping?
Yeah, well, we'll solve that.
Okay.
Well, we can take care of
that. All right. Okay. That's it. Otherwise, I like the project.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll chime in and just... pretty much echo everything that's been said. I especially, in addition, appreciate what you're doing with stormwater, permeable pavers, and the infiltration basin. Great, great choices. And just to kind of further nudge the conversation a lot for the hedge, it looks a bit monoculture along 217. I think a happy compromise of having some space would be spotting a few large trees at critical spots so that you at least broke up the direct view of the buildings. The other thing that I'm considering, and I honestly don't know how I feel about it, is looking at you have the groupings in the parking lot. Typically, I like big clusters of the same kind of plant. In this case, I think possibly a little bit more variety in the parking lot to me would be appealing. I understand the acacia and the screening and fast growth, but I think the other tree that we're looking at is the pistachio. So it'd be nice to see a little bit more variety in the parking areas. That would just be one comment. But besides that, I think you guys are doing a great service.
Thank you.
I agree with the comments. Pretty much everything that's been said here, and this is really a major upgrade, so thanks for undertaking this. This is really cool. Just regarding, you know, I love to see the landscaping palette and the depictions showing all the different varieties and colors. I was just wondering, are any of these trees deciduous? Are there ways to incorporate
color into the plant palette, because I think seasonally it is nice to be able to see that reflected.
Lane Goodkind, landscape architect. The red, they are deciduous Pistacia chinensis, and they're selected specifically for that reason. They really turn bright red in the fall. And they, the red lasts a pretty long time. So you'll see red, yellow throughout fall into early winter.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in support of the project. I think the city will appreciate the upgrade of the property, so we really appreciate that. I think it's important to solve the little 1% landscape area, so we don't even have to deal with that, asking for that modification. And I guess I'm going to ask the staff here, because of the modifications that are asking, does this have to go to zoning hearing officer, planning director? How does that get?
There are some potential issues that will either take this to planning director or planning commission. So today, if the DRB can provide comments, you don't need a motion, because we'll take it off calendar and bring it back once the project's approved through the planning process.
Okay. So relative to everything else, I think the architecture's good. Landscape is fine. I do want to somehow, whether you go with the green screen or whether you do the trees out here, I think the view from 217 needs to be addressed and broken up somewhere. And then relative to the setback modification, I'm not a big fan of allowing that to happen, but I think in this particular instance, I understand. I mean, when you drive Ward Memorial, and obviously not too many people do, other than the few that go down to the businesses that are down there, you kind of wonder why there's an 80-foot setback, to be real honest. So I'm certainly in support of allowing that modification if we can somehow define that. I don't know how far out you're coming here, 10 feet, 12 feet, 8 feet, someplace in there. We'll just need to define that so we're specific to it.
Do you recall how many feet we are approaching?
No,
I think it's minimal. I kind of remember 2 feet.
Oh, no. No, it's way. Because the buildings are right at the setback. The buildings are right at the setback line.
I'll say it's about 14 feet.
Yeah. So we just need to document that when you go to do that. And then based upon that, I'm going to ask for a little straw vote here from the board, just so you know, or actually for planning commissioner, whoever the next hearing is, knows where our take on if we all support or don't support that modification for the setback. Mm-hmm. So I'm in support. Bill?
Yes, I did have a question about that, and I asked how far the actual setback was going to be from the street frontage to where the cars will be parked. And it sounds like there will be some, hopefully some screening of the cars, so when people drive by, they're not going to be looking at a parking lot in front of your new, nice building. So I would be in favor of this modification in this instance.
I'm in favor of the mod.
I support the mod.
So do I.
Yeah. I support the mod.
Likewise.
Okay. So unanimous support of the setback modification, and we're not dealing with the 1% landscape because you're going to make that go away.
Correct.
Okay. And then my only other issue is, when you come back, I'd like to see a lighting plan. I mean, you're telling me that you're going to light the parking lot from these buildings.
No.
We're just lighting the doors for safety.
Okay. So the parking lots won't be lit?
No.
Even? Ah, okay. That, I can buy that. Okay. So, and we are just need to complete conceptual comments.
Yes.
And take it off calendar and tell you guys that. Okay? We good?
We're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice project.
Thank you.
Okay, next item is G2. And
secretary.
Item G2 is the Santa Barbara, G2 is the Harvest Hill Ranch, Lot 7, single family dwelling located at 1030 Cambridge Drive, case number 15100 DRB.
Okay, declarations from the board?
I'm sure they need to provide.
Familiar with the site and no ex parte since the last time they came before.
The same. Same as Bill, no current visits, but familiar with the site, but no ex parte.
Same here?
No current visit. I visited it in the past, and I also watched the video of the last meeting. And no ex parte.
And original site visit, no additional and no ex parte conversations.
Site visit, and I made some small talk with Martha. Just now.
Okay. No additional site visit, no ex parte.
All right, good afternoon. We're back for round two on this is Lot 7 of the Harvest Hill subdivision. Zoom out here on the camera. So I've put in front of you guys today some action summary of your last meeting for this lot. And then we have a full detailed set of architectural plans and landscape plans in front of you. And then if we get this far, I did put together some findings that you can discuss if we get there. So just to go over real quick, the action, can I borrow your somebody's action list? Sorry, I didn't make myself a copy. Action from last meeting, and that would have been, this is from September 8th. The comments were that the architectural design was good, that the landscaping needed some more detail, but was a good start. There were some specifics on some placement of trees at the front of the dwelling. Then some discussion about turf, as well as some more discussion about the native ice plant versus non-native ice plant. And consider a gray water system, incorporating that into the design. And that, in general, the project was moving in the right direction. So based on those comments from before, the applicant's team put together some responses onto paper there. And I can throw it over to them to discuss, unless you've got some questions for me before they do so.
Go for it.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the board, my name is Rich Ridgway with the Harvest Hill Project. Richard Thorne, my architect, Martha, my landscape architect. Maybe we start with landscape.
Sure. So from the plan that was presented earlier, we haven't digressed much from it, but I'll just run through it. From Cambridge Drive, awkward here. From Cambridge Drive, what you'll see as you come along, we've got some slope planting, which is ceanothus, in here. Also areas of bougainvillea rosinca, so that'll be the pink flowering bougainvillea, which is indicated by this diagonal striping. There's an existing oak tree here, which will have a stone wall. Just to retain the soil on the upper side of the tree. And then a little grouping of agaves and one formium, and then some of the Senecio serpens, the blue ice plant at the base there, a couple ornamental boulders, As you proceed up the driveway, we've got another coast live oak, which is a new proposed planting in a 15-gallon. And then we have a couple of fruitless olive trees that flank the entry walk, which is a flagstone entry walk. And these would be multi-trunked and in a 24-inch box initial size. Again, some ornamental boulders, as you can see in the front area. More agaves around this area. We have a pygmy date palm against the non-windowed area of the facade there. And then the owner had initially maple trees in a couple locations. We've changed that for western redbud or the Cerasus occidentalis. Then as you proceed around the side of the house, again, another pygmy date palm, some birds of paradise at particular locations along the facade, flanking windows and so on, and another formium. We've got a couple of fruit trees, citrus trees, one on the edge of the property here, sort of off of the family room there.
Garage.
And then as you come around the side through some stepping stones here, we've just got a large area of bark mulch, and that's open to, we could potentially use an infiltration system for gray water in the future if the owners wanted to do that, but that provides that opportunity. On the little slope in the back there, we've got more Yankee Point, Ceanothus, California lilac, and then just four little fruit trees and a little bit of stone to retain the foot of this little slope here. Bit of synthetic turf right outside the patio here, a little bit of synthetic turf that could, if once the drought restrictions lessen, be converted to a low water use turf area, very small, I think 400 square feet or something like that. Detention basin, infiltration basin here. We've got a little hydroseed, native hydroseed mix, and then at the base, or the bottom of the basin would be Carex pragracillus, or the meadow sedge, native meadow sedge there. So we've also got a little bit of rock rose at the top of the slope there. The owners are proposing a fence that would have a small gate here, follow along the top of the slope, and then tie into the existing fence along the property line here, and then tie back to the building at this location. I think that pretty much covers that. I'm showing in this plan also a couple of olive trees on the adjacent lot. Location's not exactly specified at this point in time, but just to indicate we'll have some continuity across the drive with the landscaping. Well, there's a transformer proposed here, and we've got a ligustrum hedge surrounding that, and then just a cotoneaster ground cover in this area and along here, just for slope stabilization. And then again, these existing avocado trees that will be protected and just mulched in that area. The hedge along the property line is to complete some of the same material that's on the neighbors at their request. That's Rhamnus alaternus or Italian buckthorn. All these are drought-tolerant plants.
And the existing fence is just
chain link.
Yeah.
Pretty thickly grown through, though.
Okay. Questions on the landscape?
And that, just to continue on the existing fence, that's down at the back of the sidewalk on Cambridge, which would be,
yeah.
So the proposed fence is
up here.
Yeah.
And I apologize, I didn't tell Martha what we had shown to you last time, which is that hogwire fence with a top and bottom rail. And I forgot to tell you that. That's our fence material. Yeah.
Aaron?
Question. That curb cut, is that for access to the basin there?
this curb cut's actually going to go away. It exists right now, and it was the main access to to the ranch. But now we have a new access, and so this will be removed. When this basin gets built, we have to saw cut the sidewalk to get our drain through, and so we'll tear that section out and go to a vertical curb. And that was also something that my neighbor Abe was happy to see, because he didn't want any access back there, and I was happy to take it out.
A couple questions over at this end of the table. would the detention basin ever fill up with water? How deep might that?
It really, in cross section, it's almost 5 feet deep, but 3 feet of it's filled with rock. And then there's an 18-inch layer of sandy, mulchy material. And then there's the plantings, the coastal sedge, but it does have a lip to it. And rather than spill over the top, it drops into this DI and goes under the sidewalk and is let out into the curb. So the theory is anything coming off the roofs, patios, driveways, gets put into a pipe and put into the retention basin that ultimately bleeds out. If it doesn't soak into the soil, but there's a bigger storm, it'll bleed out the pipe, get into the existing curb.
And is the fence that you're proposing between the house and this basin?
Yes.
So that young children couldn't, like, get easily...
Right, but the depth of the water is really only like 6 inches.
Okay.
It's just got that multiple layer of filtering material and rock.
Okay. And along Cambridge? Who will maintain the bougainvillea and the ice plant that could grow out onto the... Cambridge.
The owner of Lot 7, that would be their responsibility to trim the edges if they creep out. Yes.
And just, I'd be interested in your opinion, is there a lack of interest or efficacy in installing gray water systems?
You know, we need the fall, and I think in this area, you know, we're at 177 grade, and the house pad is up like 175, so we really would need to get to an area that's lower in elevation, and that would have to happen actually in this zone. I haven't put in gray systems. The environmental health, they're not excited about them. They have a lot of rules that go with them. So getting a gray system in is something that I'm going to let the owner deal.
You want to look at architecture?
Yes.
Oh, maybe as you're changing over.
These set of plans don't even look as pretty as the ones you saw before, because they're really just architectural, straight-on stuff. But I'll let Richard.
Do you have some kind of control, or do the CC&Rs, I should say, have some kind of control over what the owners can put in from a landscape standpoint?
Okay, so that's interesting. Certainly for the first 5 years, because I put up a bond. I put in the landscaping. Martha comes out and says, yes, it's installed per plan. We show Brian that, and I have a bond that hangs out there 5 years. And so my buyers know not messing with this. Right. The CC&Rs say the major trees, there's oaks that are protected in perpetuity on the site. But I don't really know. 10 years from now, someone went into their backyard and said, I don't like the fruit trees there, I'm going to change them out. I don't know where that purview, where you cross the line with that.
And just to add to that question, that the agreement between the developer and the city is actually mentioned in that agreement as third party to that agreement right now. So whether it's the current developer or successors in interest, the city is able to enforce those rules. They're not obligated to, but they're able to enforce those rules. That's just with the agreement. Then they also have a second tool of the CC&Rs that would, you know, obviously the city has less involvement in those, but it would be another tool to use.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm Richard Thorne. the architect, and basically the house has had no changes from where you saw it. So what you're going to see here is strictly the implementation of the design drawings that you saw. These are all the wonderful notes and planning. I'll give it back to the floor plan. Again, no changes were made to this. This is all consistent with what you saw and approved at the last meeting. The fireplaces and all of that outside space, those were all existing. And pretty much all the fenestrations and everything else are all in the same place. We didn't change anything of that. We actually didn't change any of the sizes. These are, we ended up with the same sizes. So that sheet, I'm sure you're not interested in. Electrical, just a point. Yeah, go ahead.
Electric meter location?
It's on this side, right? Yeah, right here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Going to be surface mounted?
Yeah.
On the wall?
Yeah.
Amp size?
I don't have it. I don't have it at this point.
Okay.
So
kind of
yeah.
Upsized.
Yeah. We have because we have two unit, two air conditioning unit, and heating unit.
We could serve you off the pole with a can, but these are bigger, nicer homes, and who knows what they're going to do in the future with electric cars and all. So we're going to upsize you, and that's why that big transformer sits at the top of that T.
Yeah.
Okay. Electrical, while we're on, and on this sheet, the lighting that we're dealing with is on the exterior. There's a pendant light that occurs here, and then there's some surface lighting at the doors, and the proposed.
That's all under overhang.
That is, yes. The pendant is under overhang, and the others are wall-mounted. The proposed style is what you see here. They're all dark sky. That's the pendant. This is a simple drop. That's the wall mounts, and this one here is proposed for a post at the front where the stone walk comes in and the driveway comes in.
Right, just
a simple one little downlight because there are no street lights.
So that's like maybe 5 feet high, 4 feet high?
About a 5 foot high pole. Yeah. There's two ways we could approach that, and we did, if you go back to the architectural guidelines and look at it, we even had a small, would be like a stone monument, little monument with a light on it.
Right.
It could be done that way. I'd use the same fixture, it would just be low. Or a simple pole. I think in this case, the simple pole might be the easiest way, especially in the way the entry comes in with a landscape plan.
And yeah. I was hoping to have mail delivery to each home. I didn't win that argument. So that's a gang box out at the entrance, and it might be a little generic looking.
So are they making you do one location
one
for all?
One on the north for three, one on the south for four.
Okay.
Yeah. They tried to go one location, and I said, well, wait a minute, these people on the North Road, they've got to go 1,000 feet, so they allowed the two locations.
And I presume you know where those locations are, and...
They're telling me where they are, and they're really right out at the front entrance, so the mailman doesn't have to do much. It's all about them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, not on this side.
Yeah.
Not on this side.
No.
Right. We'll just... Hopefully, I can remember that when lot six comes back.
Well, that's the lighting style. And one of the reasons to go away from the monument in my mind when they go to the simple pole was because we don't have the mailbox involved anymore.
Right.
So it just would have been the two together if we had done that. Okay. Roof plan. Pause or I'll fold, whichever you'd like. Okay, and then exteriors. And this is the area that is a sort of a vaulted area outside on the porch. This is where the pendant light hangs. It will hang with the bottom of it, basically a bottom of soffit. And it's a combination of the siding. There are two different siding types, and what's being proposed is that we would be using, this is hardy panel type, and the plank and the panel type siding with a battened on these, and this battened is at 16 inches on center. These are 8-inch reveal for the horizontal siding.
And we're a metal roof.
And we are, metal. In this case, proposes the Atlas 1.5-inch standing seam for the roof in a gray. which is... That's a slump block, 4-inch thick. Bag finish it with a light plaster coat, and then paint it to match the... Well, not match, it's actually a lighter color. You have this particular color here, which is a Navajo white color, actually, so it'll still be in a white look, but it's definitely, you know, cuts down to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this is just a little lighter one, and then we're going to go pure white with the fascia boards and trim, and then the standard dark bronze that comes with the 400 series Anderson window, which will be the window frames. This blue is the front door. And any other little accent, possibly. I don't know yet. The part we'll look at is maybe those vents.
Garage doors are?
White. Yeah, so really the only accent color, sorry, right here on the front door. Yeah, and possibly coming in a vent, but I'm more inclined to stay white. That's just a control foundation, and then we get back into the notes and then details. Typical siding conditions, a corner is the 1x2. Again, we're using Hardy trim products altogether, so window trim is the 5/4. We'll use the smaller batten trim. This is the same as the battens would be on the vertical siding for the corner pieces. Typical overhang is because we have fire rating issues to deal with, is that we're going to the larger timber look, which scab back in, and the 2-inch for the overhang, and then metal roof that happens on top of that.
And let's go back to, did you have to deal with, do you have attic areas that you have to vent?
The attic ventilation, yes, we do, over the bedroom wing. Yeah. And those, at this point, we'll be doing them with the flat metal roof vent that drops in. It's similar. It's not the same one, actually. I don't think it's included now that I think about it. I think he missed it.
Well,
let me look. They make us in the sheet metal.
Do they make that?
For the metal, they make a simple louver type that goes there. My question with it when I was looking at it was whether or not I could get it conform to fire or not. That was the question mark. And that one I'm certain on, but that one we'll have to deal with. Yeah. Otherwise, basically, we'd be looking at ventilation that would want to happen under here traditionally, which you can't do.
Or you guys need.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Karen?
Sorry, I don't know if this falls back under the landscaping. Stop questions for that, but you mentioned something about environmental health for the gray water system. What can you cite your source?
I've been trying to do some gray water for like 20 years, and it was Rick Merrifield at the time, and I haven't checked recently. Maybe they've lightened up on their rules of gray water.
Yeah, can you just if you said it already, restate who they is?
Environmental health. Rick Merrifield. He's, I believe, still there. But there's issues with it, and
there are concerns, I should say.
Yeah. So because I don't really have the spot to do it is down the slope by the retention basin. How do I reuse it once it's already down at an elevation at street level, and my house is up at 4 feet above that?
Yeah, it just seems to me that the curb appeal area, so to speak, mm-hmm. is the area that would benefit from it the most, and that seems to be what is actually down, you know, that you got the fall for in the first place. And you're not doing this out of the goodness of your heart. There's a reason you're dividing and building, and most folk just don't have the resources to do this. You're a leader in the community, and I think that's the sort of thing that, well, is it easy? No, maybe not, but it's not impossible. It's just not. And no water, no town. It just comes down to that. And anybody who thinks that, you know, even if El Nino comes, that's bailing us out. That's not solving the problem. We have a longer-term problem, and we have to look past 5 or 10 years. I think that it's going to improve your sale price. I think that's something, you know, this is on the higher end of what we're going to have in town. And they are going to appreciate being the first ones to come back into green in the bad times, and the last ones to go out of green. So I think it behooves you financially to do.
And would it be just for landscaping? And I could work with Martha. Have you done much gray water?
Yeah, the city of Santa Barbara actually has a pretty darn good website, of a how-to website, and it's basically, you have to make sure, though, as you know, Aaron, that the homeowner uses a certain type of soap, and that there's a diverter if they put chlorine in the laundry and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of considerations that if you don't have complete control over it, for instance, if you're turning over the property, that it's going to be, I can see saying, oh yeah, put that in, and whether it gets used or not might be up for for debate.
Seems to me those are easier hurdles to jump than getting more water.
Sure. I think there's a benefit to it. I mean, it depends too, like I said, what you're putting out there, and they've got to have a particular mulch infiltration bed, etc. So there's a methodology that's well published and accessible and so on. So it is certainly achievable.
And Martha, would I only be irrigating just that little slope along Cambridge? Because you don't have a pump system that gets it back up to the rest of your property.
Besides your laundry.
Can we get the plans back up on, just to tie it all back into design, I think.
The landscape plan?
Yep.
So until the homeowner is doing their laundry, it'll have to be watered from the irrigation system.
So, Aaron, could you point on the plans where, specifically from a design standpoint, some improvements related to gray water systems would go?
Well, I'm looking for the north-seeking arrow myself. I think that's the west.
North.
This would be the west.
Yeah, so it's the west.
Because this is all like at a flat pad, and then my plumbing, obviously, is a couple feet below that, so I'd be coming down to a system that could only water
this area right here, without having to have a cistern and a pump and all kinds of other environmental health.
And those are issues I appreciate. So, you know, I think a balance point between everything and pumping it uphill and all of that and nothing is catching that strip, which seems to me to be in the ideal spot. I, as the homeowner, that's the first thing I would want covered. You know, oh, my backyard looks great, but everything's, you know, burned to dust on the front yard. I'd want what's visible. Yard's not really the right term, you know what I mean. Along that road is the first thing I'd want green anyway. And so finding something that does work where it does have the drop, you know, we just have to have a cultural shift on what the focus is. And there just isn't going to be more water bubbling up out of the ground or falling from the sky. And we have, in one sense, for this use, a free water supply. We've already paid for it for something, you know, hygiene or drinking, what have you. Let's use it and reuse it.
Other comments or questions?
I'll just kind of follow up on that. I found that it's much simpler to do just laundry than to shower water as well. So maybe just focus on that. And also, you know, maybe if these owners are adamant about not doing gray water, we at least put the infrastructure through the walls to be able to do laundry or landscape in the future. So, you know, sleeves, plumbing, electrical, whatever.
So really a diverter right here, Carl, and bring it around and gravity feed what's low enough along that edge.
And having installed many, if the laundry equipment is to be facing it, it's not in the middle of the home. It looks like it's right against the...
It's doable.
Which you only just need sleeves under hardscapes. You can actually go in through stucco or whatever. It's actually still pretty minor. So I would just say, as a selling point, if the sleeves are in place and it's gray water ready and the laundry machine is the most commonly used, maybe the master bathroom, you know, shower could be another option. But laundry is the most basic and the highest used. If the sleeves are in place, you got 1-inch pipe. You're done. Okay. Yeah. So it's pretty simple.
Okay. So the idea that I'm getting is that you'd like to see that the lower landscaped area irrigated with gray laundry than landscape, basically.
If I can chime in, I would just say if it all depends on who you're, you know, who you're selling to. I mean, that infrastructure can be, if the sleeves are in place, then you've done all the hard work. So,
but just relating it back to design. To get the comment out of the board.
Yes, yes. Related to design. That would be the area of interest. Okay. Watering that western portion. Sure.
One other comment, unrelated. Maybe this is just me, but I'm not too crazy about the color board. It feels just monotone to me. I think it could be more interesting. I'll just leave it at that.
I just want to say I appreciate the... On the land, I don't think much has happened structurally, architecturally at least, but the landscape looks good. Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah, I think this looks good. The architecture's appropriate and the character's been maintained the same from day one. So, and I think it integrates well, and I could support this.
Tom?
I'm ditto with Scott. I like this project, and I certainly can support it.
Bill?
I concur with that, and I would like to see it at a minute. Just please explore the gray water ready for laundry. That seems forward thinking.
Yeah, I think it's a nice project, nice design. You've done a very good job and worked hard over all of these years to negotiate with the neighbors and whatever. And my only comment is I'm going to chime in on the color scheme. It's almost a white on white.
It's a light.
Function. And I guess the one thing I'm wondering is, and maybe it won't be an issue, is I tend to think of the Navajo white as a warm white because it's got some brown in it, as opposed to the blue and the metal, which are cool. But I think the bigger issue is whether we want to go with the white on white. It just seems a little.
Those are the physical chips of the colors that we're talking about.
Huh. I mean, I guess I'm a little worried at about the white on white thing, just as a concept, just being too white of a house, maybe. It feels a little, I don't know what American Gothic is, something I can think of at the moment, which is that picture. But,
well, I think in the ranch style house, you see a lot of white type scheme, but you also see a lot of tan scheme. Brown schemes as well. And, you know, I looked at alternatives of, say, darkening the tones just a little bit. That was something that is easier to receive because you could take, and these are similar value colors. But working in that tone, which is a little sandier, together in that range, and then with the, again, so we're talking about like this color and that color, as basic the two off, you know, what are the light white tones that are right there, and then come back with the same pure white for the fascia, the trims.
Right.
But that's a little deeper scheme of the same kind of concept. Would still work with the titanium gray roof, still work with the gray in the door, because there's a touch.
Yeah, there's
slight touch of gray tone,
right,
that works its way through the whole thing.
Right.
So if you prefer to be a little darker, I don't have a problem with a little bit darker.
I'd prefer that over the white on white. I don't know where everybody else is at. But
I'd vote for the darker.
I
didn't mind the light, but if I have that choice, I'll take the darker.
Yeah, I'd go for a little more contrast.
I think one thing that... one thing also with regards to the color that's important to realize is the texture of all the materials we're putting on the house are grained. And if you're, being familiar with the hardy, they're grained heavily.
Right.
So there's a lot of natural shadowing that happens on that siding. And that takes the tone and takes it away from looking just like a sample. So it's a deeper tone. That's one of the reasons I did it with a photograph rather than just a chip, because it tends to show what does happen with the material. So if we go darker, it's going to get darker yet when it actually gets on the siding.
I think a bigger issue is we've got other lots to look at, and that there's variation here.
That's what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking, I mean, you're right. We got seven to look at, and this is only one of them. Yeah.
And the architecture guidelines is kind of giving this sort of range of different tones, the tonal type of thing that we're, and we'll be following that general guideline. The colors that are on the, and you approved, is actually built now, the tractor shed, as it was called, that building. It works with this color, but it's different. So there's a difference between those. That color scheme will work on lot 5, because we've already established it for that, and it's part of the same house. So it's they're kind of, they harmonize, but still at the same time trying to be different.
Carl, are you asking for more contrast in the colors? I think Tom mentioned something looking for more contrast, or is it just the white itself?
Me personally, as one board member, I'm more worried about the white on white thing. I think this is better, personally. I don't think I need more contrast between the colors, per se. I just think this deepens it up a little bit. And I don't know where you're going on the other 6, but that's where I'd go with this, but I'm not going to say you have to, per se, because I think you've done a good job so far, so I just wanted to mention that I'd be on board with deepening it up a little bit.
I'm really willing to do that, and honestly, I called Richard, and I said, my recollection of Navajo was pretty light, and he goes, yeah, but look at the chips, so if we go a little bit deeper tone, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem, and we'll be able to work the palette on the rest of the homes. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Still
okay.
Creating flexibility.
And I understand, I mean, the white on the trim, and I understand where you're going with it, so I'm good.
Okay. The existing ranch house is sort of a cream tone, correct?
More to the brown.
Yeah, so we'll be working through that whole family of colors, I'm just trying to avoid the dark siding personally, and the contrasting stucco, which breaks away from the continuity of the building.
Yeah.
That's what I want to make sure happens.
Well, and what you're really doing is you're playing with texture within
a color palette.
And I like that.
Okay. And we can definitely go to the deeper tones. It'll work.
Okay. Everybody else good?
Do you want to Do you want to make note of the colors that I would suggest as an alternative? What's on the board? I can mark it up.
If you want to commit to those, we can.
Yeah, I sure do that.
Okay.
Richard, we'll make up a new color board with those for Brian.
Yeah, I can do
that.
We'll
keep it on file. Perfect.
All right.
So, somebody want to try a motion?
So, let's see. I'd like to move for design approval for 1030 Cambridge Drive, Lot 7, with the conditions of revising the color palette as discussed, and to provide sleeving for a laundry to landscape irrigation on the western slope, And we find that neighborhood compatibility is met, quality of architectural design, quality of landscape and zoning, that there are no issues, and all the points are met.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried.
Thank you very much.
All right.
One
and
down.
So, Brian, do we need to talk about the continuance of lot 6 and 5?
We already did that.
We already did.
So we're going to see you December 8th. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the plan at the moment, unless you want to put it off again.
On a roll.
That was in works.
Okay. So we are to announcements by members. Anybody have an announcement of any type? Okay, then...
Go Santa Barbara.
Go Santa Barbara.
Go San Marcos.
Meeting is adjourned, and good afternoon to the good land.
Mama jingle over you. Hey, Mr. Parson. Hey, Mr. Parson.